Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. Woo!
As an adult, don't we all miss spring break? Nothing like taking a week off from all your responsibilities. Well, here's the next best thing for adults, a spring break from house payments. SaveWithConrad.com can help you get rid of all your credit card debt just like that. We're routinely helping our listeners save $500, $600, $700, even $800 a month. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but check this out, no house payments for 2 months at SaveWithConrad.com.
What's up, Airheads? It's time once again for Putting On Airs. We're here in the virtual Airstream studios. I'm still in the warm weather version of my surroundings. Got my air conditioner running in that room back there, because otherwise I'd be sweating my balls off so much that even Manscaped couldn't save me from it. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Manscaped can handle the job. Anyway, we don't have to do that right now. I'm Trey. That's Corey. What's up, Corey? How you doing?
Hey, buddy. I'm good. You look wonderful. I'm glad to talk to you. I'm glad to see you. I have something that's going to make you so excited. Me and you, actually, it's your fault that I'm such a Reddit peruser. I'm borderline addicted to Reddit now. Like, it's, yeah. To me, I used to be like the Twitter and stuff, but like when you're on Twitter, you never really know what you're going to get with the way that Reddit curates everything. Like, it's, there's no better like rabbit hole starter than Reddit. And I'm a huge rabbit hole guy. And I never thought that I would be, that we would be honored enough for someone out there to deign one of our shows or things that we do worthy of its own subreddit. But by God, we have it. Our Putting On Airs is available now. You can subscribe on Reddit, and it is handled by our team here of our buddy Riley and, of course, Tiff from Texas. They are the co-moderators there. And I just want to let everybody know, if y'all are addicted to Reddit, we got our own subreddit. Ain't that fucking cool?
Does hit. I've always wanted to have my own subreddit. So that is exciting news right there.
Yep. So we got the subreddit, and also, and that will, it's our Putting On Airs, but we'll have it in the description, as well as our friend.
For people that aren't like as familiar with Reddit, so like you're saying our Putting On Airs, the way subreddits work is it's like reddit.com/r/, like the letter R.
Yeah.
Just the letter R slash whatever the name of the subreddit is. So this one is reddit.com/r/. Putting on airs.
Yeah.
So even if you're not a Reddit person, you know, go check it out. Sign up, subscribe to the subreddit, make a hit.
Yeah, it will hit. You know, they're going to moderate it really good. There's going to be, I'm actually having a call this week so that we can discuss, you know, the rules for the subreddit. And that's what's great about Reddit is, like, you know, when you have two good moderators, they keep everything in check. They make sure that, like, hey, this don't belong here. Get that the fuck out of here. We want a nice, clean experience for, and by clean, I mean, like, you know, you want only things pertaining to the show. I don't mean that it'll be like grammatically clean. We're going to curse, but it'll be really great. And of course, we have our friend Justin taking care of the Discord. That link is in the description as well. Cool things happening, man. You know, Putting On Airs on the Cumulus Network. We got a Discord. We got a freaking subreddit. Like, I feel good right now.
We got that book coming out around here. That's, and right. Over yonder.
That's right. Round here and over yonder. That link is in the description as well. You can pre-order our book.
Pre-order it.
Please do. It is number one in rural humor and travel humor, but we'd love it if it was just number one overall, and we can do so, made possible from viewers like you, PBS style. Yeah.
Skewers right? Like you. That's right.
Skewers like you. Trey?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'm just so everybody knows, like, We're going to have a good time. I'm looking forward to it. But I woke up this morning in Louisville, Kentucky, and flew back, traversed the continent, and am now back at home this evening. So been up since 1 a.m. Pacific time where I'm at right now, because I always get the ass earliest flight I could get, because, you know, I feel like I waste the whole day if I don't. Like, yeah, the day is just devoted to nothing but travel. So even though getting up that early and getting no sleep, I mean, that sucks. But I was back here at home at like 11 this morning. Which, so, you know, it's pretty sweet. But I know I'm already Eeyore. I'm not the most bubbly and effusive personality generally. But I just don't want people, because, you know, sometimes people hit you with like, is Trey okay?
Yeah,
he seems all the time, so tired. Is he all right? You know, that type of thing. So, like, this week, I just figured I'd address it up top, but we're still going to be fun. I got some tales from the road for you. But anyway, I cut you off. You were about to say something.
Well, I have two things now to say, because we do get that a lot. Is something wrong with Trey? Mm-hmm. But like, what's funny to me is like, people will say it as if this is their first time encountering any form of your media. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that sometimes you don't look like more of a sad turtle or more of Eeyore, but like, and I'm not shitting on you. It's just that, like, my wife has resting bitch face. You have resting, I'd rather be doing anything else in the world face. And that's just, everybody knows that you don't feel that way. It's just how, like, I've got resting dipshit face. You know what I mean? Even if I'm making a really good point, if you're just looking directly at my face, you're like, oh my God, can he read?
This ain't it. Yeah,
this
right.
This ain't it at all. One thing I did want to point out before we got started, friend of the show and just friend of mine in real life, one of my really good wrestling buddies. I don't want to say that he's not a buddy in other regards, but like, that's how we met, was through wrestling. His name's Sean Jones. He's the shit. I love Sean so much. He sent me a text this morning, and the first one said, I think I finally figured out Trey's irrationality towards squirrels. .. And I'm like, oh shit. I was like, okay, do tell. You know what I mean? And he said, apparently he was perusing your stand-up clips. Like, I don't know whether it was the album or whatever. And he's like, in one of his stand-up bits, he joked that he ate squirrels as a kid. I think it's the guilt of knowing he ate a squirrel's family members that basically makes you have to sit there and go, no, they can't have feelings because I ate them so many times.
Well, that's actually a very, very cogent point from Sean there, because I've brought this up before. Part of my whole argument when it comes to that stuff, like the whole, like I've said before, it's like, I swear to God, some of y'all think it's like a real, that nature's like a real life Disney movie out here. Uh-huh. That it's like, you know, sweet and fucking, they're all out here loving each other and, you know, having art seminars and whatever else, poetry, slam poetry nights and whatever else y'all think they're doing. But like, it's not like that. But specifically to what he was saying, part of what I've always said about this is like, I don't interpret it in my head as like, oh, it's straight up guilt. It's more like it would be hypocritical of me. Like, I've always been like, look, I eat meat and I don't really plan to stop eating meat. And so as long as I'm still eating meat, I'm not gonna front like I'm like, you know, I had like, I've like animals are all precious and must be, you know, protected. Just cause I just think that that's kind of, like I said, that's just kind of hypocritical. Like, people that are like, you know, hardcore, like, I don't know, super hardcore and like animal welfare and stuff, but still love cheeseburgers and bacon and shit like that. Right. I'm just kind of like, I just don't, a vegan, they can say whatever they want and I got no problem with it. But like, if you're going to eat them, I mean, I think for all of us, you either have to just not think about it at all.
Right.
Which I think is what most people do all the time, because we don't have to kill the things we eat as a general rule. You know, you can if you're into that, but you can also just go pick it up. But I think most people just don't think about it. Or if you do, I think you kind of have to believe that, like, they're not, okay, they're not, you know, on the same level as us. And some of them, it's different level. Like, I've always said, my boys just heard the story of, I always think his name was Rocky, but his name wasn't Rocky. There was this headless chicken that lived for 6 months in the 20s.
I thought his name was Rocky, too.
I did too, but we just listened to this podcast episode where they told the whole story, and it definitely was not Rocky, but I can't remember what the name actually was. But anyway, this farmer cut this chicken's head off, but, and then the chicken just didn't die, and it was just like walking around the, the yard doing this, but with no head, just like, you know, putting its neck back and forth and like slamming its headless neck into the ground, like it was pecking and shit like that. Right. Lived for 6 months. They made so much money off that motherfucker too. Like, cause they took him on the road, you know, became like a sideshow thing. And they made, those farmers made so much money off of that headless chicken. But like, ever since I heard that story, I've, with chickens in particular, I've kind of been like, okay, well, I mean, we can eat them. I mean, live without a head. Now, I know that like pigs are smart. I mean, some people say pigs are like just as smart as dogs and stuff like that. And
they're smarter than dogs, I've heard.
Well, that, you know, I mean, yeah, that's fucked up. But I mean, Lord, they hit though.
They hit so hard. Dude, speaking of vegans, I really wish that I had thought to have this clip ready, but you just saying that reminded me. Did you see that clip that came out today of that, like, this actually fits the show really good because he's the chef at, like, I don't know if it's a Michelin star restaurant, but it's definitely one of those, like, expensive, tiny portion, fucking flambéed everything foam. I don't know if it's foam, but, like, anyways, this is an older chef, and he has come out and he put on his Facebook or the restaurant's Facebook that's like, hey, listen, I know I'm going to get shit for this. And it's like, no offense, but vegans are now banned from my restaurant. Like, you can't come. If you're a vegan, you can't come. And so I read that and I was like, okay. I was like, that's a weird thing to do. Like, I get it if you think veganism is stupid, but like, let them come and make their own decision. Well, apparently he goes on this like huge diatribe of how like, he's so sick and fucking tired of these vegans coming into his restaurant and talking about how he needs to get with 2023 because he doesn't have enough vegan options or whatever the fuck. And he was just like, listen, first off, you ain't got to fucking come here. All right. You can see the menu. You ain't got to come here. He's like, but I'm so goddamn sick and tired of having worked my ass off my entire life to be one of the fucking best chefs around and have somebody tell me how I'm supposed to make my own fucking food. You know what? Y'all can't even fucking come here. Get out of my face. And I, you know, I halfway respect it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like, I feel like if you're going to be a vegan, you should like, there's certain steps that you got to know you're going to have to take, right? For life. Yes. I feel like anytime you ever go anywhere, friends say, hey, we're thinking about going here. I feel like if any vegan should, like, if they don't already know the place, they should look it up and be like, yeah, y'all have fun. I can't do that. They don't have anything, you know, like you shouldn't just assume that you're going to be catered to. And if it's a place that don't do that, then like you can't go there. It's not even about like you being banned from there.
Right.
Like, if you're hardcore vegan and it's a place that just doesn't do vegan options or whatever, which is not a law that they have to, then like, then you just, that's just a place you just can't go.
Because
so like, it's almost kind of like, what's the difference really at the end of the day? You know what I mean? Like,
because if the opposite was the thing, like imagine there's a vegan restaurant. This restaurant is for vegans and we keep coming up in there telling them to service chicken. Like we would look like assholes. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, as a businessman, you probably, depending on where you're at, you probably should think, all right, there's probably some vegans around. Maybe I'll have these options. But he's an artist. You know what I mean? That ain't what he wants to make.
We've talked about this before on a very early episode. I remember it came up because remember we watched that viral clip of Gordon Ramsay picking a lamb to murder. Remember that?
Like, ooh, look at you.
He's like, I'm going to eat you. Who's getting eaten? Oh, you look tender, you know, whatever. Like stalking these little baby sheep around a paddock. It's like me. I thought that was absolutely fucking hilarious.
Oh, right? Funny, dude.
But like, and we talked about this then, so we don't have to like belabor it too much. But that's one thing that I've noticed about chefs. Obviously, there's some chefs who are vegan chefs. They specialize in that. But generally speaking, most other chefs, like, they put the art of food and everything way above those types of concerns. Like, they don't, most of them don't seem to have any, they don't care a fuck, give a fuck about any of that. You know what I mean? Like, most of them also know how, they know how to like butcher animals. Like I'm saying, like Gordon Ramsay killed that lamb himself.
Yeah.
You know? Break his neck. And butcher it himself and put it on a plate. Cause they're like, to them, it's like, well, yeah, you know, if you're trying to reach the pinnacle of the culinary world, you got to eat some baby animals and, and they've decided that they're down with that, you know? So principles. Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm just saying, like, I get it. Like, that guy, this is his restaurant, and he's the chef. And when you're the chef, you decide on all the food. And, like, he hasn't worked his whole life to perfect a vegan menu. So, like, that's unknown territory to him. So, he's right.
You would get the wrong idea about, yes. Like, if he just whips something up that's not yes. part of his culinary ouvre,
right.
Then you might eat it and be like, this dude don't hit. And he's like, this right. ain't what I do. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
If I learned three chords on a guitar tomorrow, I wouldn't immediately go and on stage and be like, I'm a guitar comic now. You know what I mean? Cause like, that's right. not, I'm
or
not
like,
trained
if
for
I,
that.
If somebody like demanded that I do an entire set of like just impressions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just cause I'm not an impressionist. I can do some right. voices, but I'm not an impressionist. But if I was forced to do that and you saw that, you'd be like, this dude sucks. Like
right.
this ain't even close. And it's like, but that's not what I do though. So I
exactly.
mean, yeah. I definitely think the dude's got a point. I'm about to talk about horses because I've been in Kentucky. Would you eat a horse?
If I was in a... Okay. Would I choose to eat a horse? No, I would not. Right. But if I was in another country and I was being hosted by a couple, you know, like we're abroad and this family has taken us in and they just tell us, hey, we're serving horse tonight and that's a thing in their culture, I would not tell them, no, I'm not eating the horse. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
like, I think there's a... There's now... Like, I don't think I could say the same thing about dog, though. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, if it's already dead, it's like, well, shit, I don't want it to die in vain. But, like, yeah, dude, like, again, I would never choose horse, but I would never disrespect a family from another culture.
Because I remember when I found out that, like, so apparently, I guess if you know where to look or how to go about it, I guess you can. So apparently in some countries, like I feel like maybe them Viking countries, I think maybe
yeah,
you
Nordic.
Can just like buy horse meat at the grocery stores. Other places where you could just
super
like
lean.
You can buy. It's very lean. You can buy horse right by the beef and the, you know, the mutton and the chicken or whatever. And I reckon in America, if you got a horse man, like you can get horse here too. And I guess bodybuilders eat
yeah,
horse or
Reagan
like to eat horse because it's like such lean dense protein or whatever. So like, and I remember when I found that out at first, I was like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But then I thought about it and I was like, I mean, is it really all that different than eating a cow or especially a pig or whatever?
Well,
like it's just
part.
Because we don't look at horses as stuff you eat.
Right. Right.
Just culturally we don't, but like, I mean, what's the difference between them
one.
And these other livestock, right? So, but yeah,
well, I mean,
I never had no horse, though.
There's a different, ethically, there's no difference at all. But like, to me, the huge difference is like, I don't like lean meat as much as I like fat meat. You know
yeah.
what I mean? But
fat
like,
meat
no,
is what's up.
Fat meat is what's up. But I mean, no, dude, you're right. It's just that one day when we first saw horses, we decided they should be ridden. If the first people that saw horses had decided these need to be eaten, we wouldn't think anything else of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like horses, there's definitely, you know, there's a better they serve mankind better.
Yeah.
Generally
by
being ridden and doing other horse stuff.
Exactly.
Which is why we don't, as a, you know, general rule,
although,
tend to eat
like,
them. If
you know, they do, but like, back in the day, horses were the primary source of transportation. So it's like you can't eat our cars. You know
no,
what I mean?
You can't but eat like, our cars. You're
you
right.
can't. No, you can't eat our cars. Somebody probably said that. You can't eat our cars. But like now, don't get me wrong. There are still cowboys who absolutely use horses on the ranch and stuff like that. But like the use, my point is like the percentage of horses that need to be ridden are way down, so you would think that there's ample amount of horse that could be eaten.
That is a perfect segue into what I was wanting to talk about, because like I said, I've been in Kentucky, and you realize, like, okay, you said horses that need to be ridden, yes, that percentage is way down, but like, dude,
the ones that want to be ridden,
the horse world,
yeah,
is such a huge and massive thing with so much money changing hands at all times. Like, you don't even realize how many the general public, if you're not into horse mess, right? The general public knows about the Triple Crown pretty much. And if you know the Preakness, Belmont Stakes, and the Kentucky Derby, and you know, part of you, of course, you know that there are other horse races. That's how them horses get to hit and be those horses that in the hitness races, right? But like,
those are just the majors. There's other regular tournaments.
We went to, Donnie Singstack was opening for me this weekend in Kentucky. On Saturday morning, I woke up. I was supposed to be at the Lexington Opera House in downtown Lexington Saturday night. It was going to be a packed show. It was going to be super rad. I've never had a bad time comedically in the city of Lexington. Hell no. So I was really, really looking forward to it. And then I got a call that day at like noon that day. They called me and said that a building inspector had identified structural issues with the balcony and determined it was not safe to seat people either in the balcony or under the balcony, which was like that takes out like 2/3 of the room or whatever.
Under would be the worst part, I think.
Yeah, I mean, none of it would hit, you know.
No, but anyway, I'd rather be in the balcony falling down than
onto somebody.
Yes.
Yeah, be part of the rubble that crushes those underfoot, then be the people underneath the rubble. Yeah.
Always be the rubble.
Always be the rubble.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. nobody was like, so what do you think, Trey? Like they called me and said that, and we're like, so there's no show tonight. Like we can't do it. Sorry, but you know, for safety reasons, we just can't do it. So the show got canceled. It got indefinitely postponed. Like we're working to reschedule it right now. We just have to figure out how long they're gonna have to be closed for, yada yada, all that shit. So I have no idea when it's gonna be. If anybody's listening that was supposed to go to that show, very sorry, totally out of my hands. Act of the fake lord, what are you gonna do? But you know, it's better that the fake lord did that than have killed a bunch of y'all at my show, lord, you know, via you the imagine. Balcony collapsing, which would have been very raven of him. So
I kind of can't believe that didn't happen.
Yeah, so sorry about that. We'll get it rectified in the near future. But so I'm in Lexington, Kentucky on Saturday with Donnie, and now we have the day off unexpectedly. And so we went to Red Mile. Red Mile is a horse track and gaming facility. Because they say it's not a – and it. I was real disappointed because it says, you know, racing and gaming.
Right.
And I was like, bruh.
Yep.
I'm about to lose every bit of the money that I'm already not making since I don't have a show tonight, right? Like, because I've never bet on horse racing. I've always wanted to.
That's not true.
I mean, in person.
In person, I'd say me and you won like a bunch of money on horses.
Yeah, that was very fun. That was that's Belmont Stakes.
It was Belmont Stakes. And, buddy, it was what a good value that was. Because, like, we did not pick the favorite. You just went in there and was like, I'm doing this. And I was like, hey, baby, I'm with you. I'm riding this. And, buddy, we was up just get it, boy. Like,
yeah, that was, and our horse come in and it hit. But also I was like, they got that and a Cassini. Like, I can play blackjack and bet the ponies. Lol, this is going to be awesome. Get there in the Cassini part. First of all, they clarified to me, we are not a casino. And I'm kind of like, well, I don't know what exactly you is then, but it's like they have nothing but like slots and those types of things. Slots and like machines, but not video poker, not video blackjack. So pretty much just like slots and keno and that type of shit. And I think they have bingo games there too. Yeah. But so I didn't fuck with that part at all. As soon as I found that out, I was like, well, I don't want no part of that. But they got a track there. Mm-hmm. And they also have off track betting. That's the second and third floor where the grandstand is. And they got all these little terminals and they have a million TVs showing every horse race that's happening in the world. Right. And this is what I was getting at. Like, it's a bunch of them. Like really? every 15 minutes at any given track. And there's so many tracks and they're all across the world or whatever. And they're all simulcast into this, this off track betting place. Like, every 15 minutes at any given track, they're running a new race and like all day pretty much. And that's an insane amount of horses. What'd you say?
You could just sit there for like, I mean, literally 15 hours. And yeah, never...
we got there at like 6 PM and they weren't even running races that night. They were running them the next day and we did go back. But like that night, it was nothing but off-track betting. So you're just betting and watching the TVs, right, for whichever, you know, whatever horse you bet on. And we sat there for like 3 or 4 hours or something. And, you know, and it's exciting. Do what?
Waitresses coming around or a bar?
There's a bar. There's no
bags
no
of floor shit service, everywhere.
But you just go over there. But so that hit, right? But it's just, I was thinking like, just the sheer amount of horses that are being ridden you know, and like the people that ride them, right, all around the world. And it's like, it's just this crazy. It's like you're remember the general public is only familiar with the Triple Crown. You don't realize how like huge and constant it is. And it's just happening all the time. And it's this whole like subculture. But so we went back the next day, and at Red Mile, they do harness racing. You ever seen those?
I don't even have a guess.
So you got thoroughbreds, right? That's what you're used to. That's, you know, a little feller on a horse. Yeah, right. Racing a bunch of other little fellers on a horse. They do, and I think all the they're quarter horses. It says harness and quarter horse. It's like, you know, smaller horses, not the big bad motherfuckers, but they pull a little chariot behind them with right a little on. Feller sitting in the chariot, right?
That's what's up.
And it's just a little seat on two, like they look like bike tires basically. And he's got reins and that's what they do. That's the kind of racing they have at Red Mile where we were at. So their races were on Sunday, all day Sunday. So we went back Sunday because we had to go to Louisville, which is only an hour away. So we had some time to kill. So we went back on Sunday and watched the live races, right? So we get there and, the second race we were going to watch, I had just been picking winners and mostly just straight chalk. Every now and then, if I saw a name I really liked or something, I'd be like, I'm going with that, you know, just like a gut feeling thing. But mostly I was just picking straight chalk, just taking favorites or whatever. And if you do that, it's kind of like if you just play by what the book says in blackjack, you can sit there for a long time and, you know what break I mean? Even. Basically break even. And so you just keep playing for a long time and, you know, without losing your ass and pissing yourself off or anything, but you're not going to make
truly it. Hit. Yeah.
Right. So on Sunday for the live races, I decided I'd try get a little more adventurous and try like some trifectas, right?
Parlays.
Trifecta is when you pick the three horses that are going to finish first, second, and third, right?
Wow.
In order. So, I mean, like the odds are super long. Million. And there's exactas, which is you pick one and two. Trifectas, you pick one through three. And then superfecta, you got to pick one through four. So that one's even more insane. But I did a couple trifectas. First one didn't hit. Second race payout? Coming up. Oh, I mean, it's a lot. I remember I remember them saying a $1 bet on the correct superfecta. So that's the four. A $1 bet paid out $85.
Nice.
Yeah, that's for the superfecta. So trifecta would be, you know, less than that. But I mean, you know, still pretty good because it's real hard to do. But so on the second race, I picked which horse got the best odds. He's number one. Which horse has second best odds? He's number two. Third best odds, number three. That's how I did it. Did a trifecta, sat down, right? The horse that had the second best odds, so basically the one that's like picked second, he comes out there. Like they warm up before the race, like the horses with the jockeys. He did not take a shit, but like they run up and down the track a little bit. You get to look at him, whatever. And he was number six. And I had 2, 6, 4. Horse number two, number six, number four. I'd already seen 2 and 4, looking good, you know, whatever. Like that, as we said before, I'm one of the worst horse judges in the state of Tennessee when I was in high school.
A story, so like terrible horse judge.
Yeah, so it's not like I know, but look fine to me, but. But with six, when six came through, we did notice a problem. And his problem was that his jockey, and I think for the harness races, I think they call them drivers instead of jockeys. Uh-huh. But, you know, the guy running the horse, the guy sitting in the little chariot behind it, was like fatter than you at your fattest. He was, bless his heart. Not shitting on him, like, you know, whatever. It's like, because, by the way, I can't remember if I said this last week, but Katie's told me that we've been going too hard on fat people, she said. So, like,
okay,
you know.
Okay, well, sorry.
But it's like we said, it's like, we've both been fat so many times. It's like, you know,
I'm glad you said that. Let me interject for 2 seconds. 2 seconds, and you carry on about that, because I would like to defend us for a second. Because, yes, I consider us fat people. Someone, because we had said something about fat people a couple episodes ago, and I was checking comments as I do, because sometimes you'll have people like, hey, where's the book? So I hit the link and I try to stay active down there. And as someone who was talking about, you know, you shouldn't say this, fat, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. So I was reading through, and at the bottom, it's like, and you of all people, Corey, because by the way, you're still fat, you know? And by the way, I'm not offended. To me, that helps my case. That helps my case. So I was like, okay, if you believe that's true, then what the fuck are we even doing here? You know what I mean? Like, if you, I understand it, like, but if you, if you're going to end this with Corey, you're also fat, then I'm like, right. So I have every right to say all the things you just said I shouldn't have said. Anyways, go ahead.
So anyway, so without even like getting into that whole can of worms or whatever, I'm just saying this jockey was, objectively speaking, of the portly persuasion.
Not built like a jockey.
Right, because everybody know jockeys, they're this big, dude. They're teeny tiny little motherfuckers, which of course makes sense because, you know, you want as little weight on the horse as possible so it can go as fast as it can, right? So me and Donnie are sitting there, and he comes up there, and we both just kind of like look at each other, and we're like, and I was like, that's the horse's trainer or something, right? You know, Donnie's like, surely. It's like, sure, like that can't be the jockey. Like, in no way that's not what jockey, that's not how jockeys work. And all the other jockeys look like jockeys, right? But we're like, this must be that horse's trainer. He's gonna switch out before they run a race or whatever. No,
especially if it's got the third best odds.
Second best odds. And I started saying, and when we saw it, it's like, no, he's lining up, that's gonna be the jockey. And I was like, dude, that horse has the second best. I was like, there's no fucking way. I was like, it's not possible. I was like, if that horse were to win or come in second, imagine how hard that horse must hit.
Right.
If you put a jockey-sized jockey behind it. Right. You know what I mean? Like, are they handicapping him for some reason? Like, why are they? I'm saying all this. I'm like, this is, we're missing something, right? This don't make no sense, you know? Then the race starts and it gets exciting. And again, I had him pick second. The one I had to pick first, and I also did a straight bet on the winner, by the way, a separate straight bet just on the winner.
You got a hedge.
And the horse I had picked to finish first, it was in the lead and it was real, real close, right? So I'm watching that. And as they come down the finish line, and it's like a photo finish or whatever, and the horse I had picked to finish first did, but, and the horse that was in second, I hadn't picked anywhere. So I knew my trifecta was shot, but I still had a shot to straight bet. So I'm paying attention to that. And my horse wins, and we're, you know, men down in high five or whatever. You know, we like to do this and whatnot. And then he goes, hey, look. And I turn back around, and number six with old boy driving him was putting across the finish line like 15 lengths behind every other horse. Like, the comedic timing of it was so funny because like dead last by a lot, you know, and then turns out he filed like an objection that got disallowed. They announced all this over the PA. He filed an objection to the results, and an objection got disallowed because his tires popped. Right? I'm not making this up. I swear to God, I'm not making this up.
Get the fuck out of here.
I swear. And so like, it was just killing me, dude. But I was just imagining him having like a formulaic pulling at your heartstrings, like Disney movie about like an underdog story or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like everybody told him it couldn't be done. You know what I mean? The whole horse racing world told him, you can't be a fat jockey. You know, there's
eat another just cheeseburger, asshole.
Yeah, right. Like, everybody, and he's like, he said he's going to prove them wrong. You know what I mean? It's like Cinderella Man, but with a fat jockey, right? And then at the end of the movie, the big climax, he loses by 15 lengths or whatever. And his tires explode. You know, like, he goes home that night, and his wife, you know, who supports him through all of it, she's like, you know, did you win today, honey? He's like, no. My tires exploded.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Dude, okay. So what do you think happened? Like, I'm trying to run through this in my brain and I'm thinking like his jockey couldn't show up and they didn't have anybody else. So that guy is actually the owner of the horse and he had to sit in.
If it was something like that, then I respect the dude for doing it. The show must go on or whatever, but we didn't get or have any of those details, but I'd love to know, you know what I mean?
Because you could get like,
love to know. I hope this ain't like our buddy, the water sommelier, heard our episode. Yeah. We were talking about him. It's up in the comments or whatever. I don't, again, if you do end up hearing this, plus size jockey man in Lexington, Kentucky, again,
come on the show.
Yeah. No, no hate, no disrespect. It's just, I just felt like it was one of those things where it was like objectively hilarious, but I'm up there complaining about before even the race is running up there. And I'm like, dude, telling Donnie, I'm like, fucking Seabiscuit couldn't win this race pulling that motherfucker, you know? And Donnie said something like, that guy needs to see some fewer biscuits or something like that. You know, that guy been seeing too many biscuits, you know, shit like that. Dude, so it was just a classic good time, but it was one of those things that's like, it feels like it would be from like a Danny McBride movie or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like just a ludicrous premise played just for comedy, except it happened in the real world. Yeah. Right.
Hey, can we take a moment here just to tell everybody, I don't know what his socials are at all, but I'm so jealous. I'm jealous of all this that you got to experience that. But more than anything, I'm jealous that you got to experience it with our great and hilarious friend, Donnie Singstack. I love Donnie so much. I treasure our friendship. One of the best friends that we've made along this insane journey of the Well-Read Tour. So I don't know how to find him on social, but look him up somehow. Donnie Singstack. He's a fucking hilarious dude and a wonderful hang.
Yes, he's a sweet, sweet boy. And yes, very funny too. Lovely, lovely feller, Donnie Singstack. On a sort of related note, I guess a little plug here because why not? In Louisville, do you remember the last shows we had in Louisville? You remember our buddy, the barbecue chef?
Yeah.
At Four Pegs Barbecue in Louisville. If you're in the Louisville area, go to Four Pegs, check it out. His name's Chris.
Chris
and his wife.
He's winning awards, man.
He's won a bunch of awards. Chris and his wife came back to this show last night, and he told me that he's on the currently airing season of Barbecue Brawl with Bobby Flay on Food Network. And nice. I went straight back to my hotel room and watched the first episode of it. And he sure as shit is in there. And he had some serious drama with some chicken the first episode. But yeah, no spoilers. But anyway, so I love like food competition shows anyways. Everybody knows. I mean, primarily baking, but I can get down with any of them. And I've noticed that like I already realized like that's the first time I've ever watched one. Obviously, you hosted.
You didn't watch mine?
No, I did. Okay. But you were the host.
Yeah.
That was very different. This is the first time I've ever watched one of these competition shows where, like, I personally know someone in it, you know? Yeah. And I'm rooting for him so hard. You know what I mean? Like, where I just have, like, that? I'm fully invested. Like, I'm totally going to watch the rest of this season.
Is that on Food Network?
Yeah, Food Network, yeah.
Well, I got to check it out, too. Yeah, man, because Chris
so I watched it on demand. Like, I have YouTube TV, which includes Food Network, so you can watch it on demand. There's only been two episodes so far. Like, it literally just started airing. Nobody's even been Well, or maybe somebody's been eliminated.
Dude,
yet, but
that means every week we can come back and talk about his progress on here. Dude, I want to, because that really pumps me up. Because, A, Chris is good people. And, man, dude, if you're in – it's Four Pegs, right, is the name of the restaurant?
Four Pegs, yeah.
Dude, if you're in the area, I got to tell you, I mean, we had one of the best meals we've ever had in our life. Everything was on point. The if I can remember – and, you know, my memory's bad, but I want to say the macaroni and cheese was on fire. Didn't he serve us some? He just kind of gave us like
he gave us a little like you know, like a hit flight, a hit sampler, yeah. Which was indeed what's up. But yeah, so always fun in Kentucky. This time was no different, and I thought you'd enjoy the anecdote. Of,
I do. I'm jealous.
The plus size jockey, but anyway, yeah, that's pretty much what I brought to the table tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to unleash the beach beast within you. This summer, Manscaped is here to help you level up your beach game with their new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. They're going past waist deep in the grooming game and diving in headfirst to your facial hair fantasies. The Beard Hedger is a game changer, allowing you to shape your beard like a true beach babe. So this summer, let the beach balls bounce and turn heads all over the place. Visit manscaped.com and use code POA for 20% off and free shipping. Speaking of them beach balls, you know I have long been a proponent of the ball deodorant and the crop preserver and all that stuff. When it gets super hot, I got to have it. I got to have my boys smelling good. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit is amazing. You can't see me right now, but I actually just did a really good trim. Trey, don't I look good? Just tell everybody that I look good.
Absolutely. Fantastic.
Thank you. It looks amazing. You don't have all these little attachments. It just kind of click, click, click on the side of it. I absolutely love it. It's great for somebody with ADD who would lose all of those things anyways. Trey, tell them a little bit more about our friends over at Manscaped.
Yes, indeed, y'all. It's time to tame your mane. So say goodbye to all your stubble trouble with Manscaped's Beard Hedger Pro Kit. It all starts with the Beard Hedger. First off, this cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths, all with only one guard, so no more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. Plus, it's waterproof, so you can shave in the shower to avoid getting all that hair in the sink. The titanium-coated T-blade is tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. Pro Kit doesn't end there, though. They have created four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care. First, there's the beard shampoo and conditioner. You need to remember all your hair is different. Your beard hair is more coarse and easier to damage than the hair on your head. That's why the kit has made shampoo and conditioner specially designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, replace natural oils, and promote beard health. Next up, the kit has Manscaped's beard oil. This helps relieve dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath while adding a little shimmer and shine. Cap off the kit with the beard balm, a pomade that shapes, styles, moisturizes, and tames for a sculpted look to attract any fellows or dames. The Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts, a beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is always ready to impress. So here's what y'all do. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code POA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code POA. Manscaped Beard Hedger, one stroke, one guard, 20 lengths. Can't beat that. Use the code POA at manscaped.com, 20% off for free shipping, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
No more nicks and cuts on your dicks and butts. Skew. Well, so, that's cool. I got a couple things. Number one, I was trying to hey, you made your disclaimer earlier. I'm going to make mine now. You're tired, blah, blah, blah. We're recording on Monday. We normally record on Wednesday. I usually do all my prep on Tuesday. I have been at the lake and Trey messaged this morning and was like, hey, I really need to record tonight. So I was like, hey, fucking no problem. We'll wing this shit. I'm in the middle of trying to work on like the setup of what our lesser known Royals bracket is going to be. So like, I've been trying to like investigate like what all these people are, like who can I put here, trying to get some anecdotes, trying to find some podcasts that they're talking about or whatever. And so when you hit me up today, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm not going to be ready at all. But I would like to say, I just want to bring this up to hear what you think about it. I did in my research. God damn it. My sister's calling me and I need to look at my phone for this picture. I was looking at Denmark, right? Because they have royals. We mentioned that last week that they have royals, right? Well, So I'm like, oh, this will be interesting. I'll look. And what's really pissing me off about a couple of them is, like, I'm not really hearing any, like, oh, they was riding a go-kart with a cheetah, or, you know, fucking, like, they've got a pet barracuda that they, you know, let swim in their bed or whatever.
Yeah. Are they all kind of like stuffy and uptight, just a bunch of stuffed shirts or something?
Yeah, but like some, like this, the one in Denmark that I was reading about, and again, I'm not complete on my research, so this isn't 100% fleshed out, but these details struck me. The first detail is that the Danish monarchy is one of the oldest in the world. Like, this line goes back to the year 900, like an uninterrupted line.
Right. It's like there was that other one. I think Liechtenstein last week was also like that. And we were like, you know, they ain't even got a one in front of that motherfucker.
Yeah.
God damn.
And that's crazy because, like, you know, again, like, you know, Elizabeth line goes pretty far back, but there was some splits because, like, you have takeovers. You know what I mean? You have, but like,
or they can't have a son, so they got to keep killing their wives or whatever. But like, yeah, any number of, yeah, they get usurped, they get cooed. Right.
Yes.
You know, like shit like that generally happens along the way.
I was about to say, you almost expect it, like all the, especially back in the middle age. It's like now, you know, like I'm sure that that won't happen to, like, what will end up with the Windsor dynasty is A, the monarchy is just abolished totally, or one of them can't have a kid and that's how it ends. Like, there's no, like, I don't know if, like, usurping don't happen a lot in, like, civilized fucking first world place anymore.
That would be wild. I kind of wish that would happen. I wish a modern day usurping would go down, because usurping, you don't see it much anymore. Usurping's a bit of a relic of a bygone era. No, ain't too much usurping going on, and that's kind of a shame. Would be interesting. People eat up all that royalty shit anyway. Imagine if they were still usurping and stuff.
Dude,
like,
I mean, look, as long as it's not happening to us or anywhere that could affect us, I'm all for a good usurping and shit like that. But like I said, like, in the only, like, it definitely does happen, and I don't know enough to just throw out a country, because I'm afraid if I just say, oh, you know, in this region, there's, you know, all this shit going on. But like in some, there are some third world places that do technically have like a king or whatever. And like in those little places, I'm sure that like motherfuckers are getting killed and shit all the time.
Oh, but yeah. Like, well, yeah, that's like, yeah, that's like warlords and, you know, yeah, and shit like that. Yeah, right. And those, like more like dictators and stuff.
Which because it's happening on such a small level all the time, makes it not as interesting. The way that it would be really interesting, and again, we love our friends from across the pond, but like, dude, can you fucking imagine if Britain got usurped? If if King Charles got usurped by somebody, that would be bananas. Again, I don't want it to happen, because we have fans there and I don't want them to go through any turmoil, but that would be fucking, dude, I wouldn't even know what to think.
Well, it's weird. You said turmoil and whatever. A usurping would be a wild thing, but like, also, I mean, they don't really do nothing, right? In terms of like the actual running of the country and that type of shit. So it'd just be like a tabloid shit show is what the modern day version of a usurping would be. Unless it was like a motherfucker who like usurped and also was like, and I'm like the real king now. Yeah, I'm like a dictator king, like, you know, and y'all shall bow before me. Like, if that shit happened, that's like Hitler shit.
But it could, you know, though, because
like that would be nuts.
Yeah. But like, you know, I mentioned in the Queen Elizabeth episode that I did, which, by the way, I'm due for another one. I did a kind of just a brief overview of her life, but I do want to focus on some like historical landmarks that happened. But like, as we learned in that, which I was stunned to learn, was that the only reason that she doesn't hold a lot of power is self-governance of herself. Like, she could if she wanted to, but was like, no, we're not going to do that. Like, it's going to be parliament and I'm going to have a limited role. But like, I suppose, though, if someone usurped Charles, would be like, all right, now I'm going to do all the things that I actually can do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But to go back to Denmark, anyways,
yes,
they also have a limited role in government, which seems to be like that was their call a long time ago. And like, we know that these Swedes and Denmarks and the Hoichi Deutsche Boichis, like, they're famously neutral countries. So like, it makes sense that they haven't had any problems. I get like it kind of makes sense that if someone's going to go back to the 900s,
Switzerland is like the famously neutral country. Right. They never take a side in anything. Even in World War II, they don't take a side. And it's weird. I've talked about that. I don't want to get too much
kind of
on this.
For that,
I was just about to say, and I've talked about this before. I can't remember if it was on this show or Well Read or what, but I know I've done this before. So without getting too deep into that aside, thinking about that as because I feel like they kind of get like lauded for that. Like,
yeah, I
people
it was
talk
cool
about how
did.
They're like, they're neutral and it's like that's admirable or something. But I feel like as an adult, and it's like, no, dude, in World War II,
yep,
you aren't picked a side.
Yes.
Like, you know,
neutral
like
that, to Hitler like that's not, pro-Hitler.
Yeah, right. Like, and they're like the blood money capital of the world, dude, because of that. It's like they'll take anybody's money, you know, dictators, warlords, whatever. It's like, and people seem to just, the Western world seems to just generally be like completely cool with it. And I'm like, yeah. I don't know. When you really think about it, kind of fuck Switzerland. Like,
dude,
that's not.
I agree.
This shit ain't cool.
I swear to God, I thought about this like not that long ago in that like, hey, listen here. Oh no, not that. Hold on.
Nice.
You hear that fart?
I did.
Anyway, no, I was thinking about that not that long ago about how like, you know, somebody was basically, I saw somebody giving a talk of like, you know, if you stay silent when there's horrible atrocities and discrimination and stuff happening, then like really technically you're just kind of on, you're picking that side because being silent towards it. And I was like, yeah, it's true. And I swear to God, in that moment, I was like, you know what? Fuck Switzerland.
Right.
Fuck them. Because when I was a kid, I was like that, like as a redneck, that made sense. I was like, hey, you know, we ain't bothering nobody. Y'all don't bother us. We'll fucking keep on our shit. But like when you see Hitler doing some shit, it's like, nah, son, you got to stand up and be like, yo, we're going to take our fucking little, you know, crazy ass knives and come down there and fuck with you.
And our chocolate.
And our chocolate.
And our bobsled team.
And Banks.
And Banks. But what I was saying is they are famously neutral, but I think a lot of the Nordic countries, I'm pretty sure, were generally all with the Allies in World War II. And also they've had like other conflict, like one of them, Sweden, I think maybe, or maybe no, Norway, maybe. I don't know. One of them or multiple ones have had like mad beef with Russia over the years. Like,
okay.
Imagine
that's
that,
head.
You know? Yeah. Right. But so I'm just saying like they'll, you know, they'll throw down. I mean, dude, that's where, you know, they used to be Vikings.
Yes, true. I sound like an asshole right now. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean, I think if you're calling them like, oh, they're neutral, they're pretty even keeled, it's not really like that's an insult. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Even
don't
that, know well, we just said that it's an insult, though, right after that. I was like, fuck Switzerland. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that was in the specific. Yeah, you're right.
That was anyway, World War II, though.
Look at this this beam of sunlight shining directly onto my mouth.
It looks good. No, it hits for me.
I don't think it hits, but anyway,
I think it really hits. Anyways, though, about these Denmark royals, like I was reading, and again, I haven't gotten too deep into it because I'm so Porky Pig, man. I'm so Porky Pig. My research was cut short, but I saw that it was like, yeah, they take a limited role in government, and also their kids all go to public school. And they do their own grocery shopping. They go hang out at the mall without like Secret Service and shit. And I was like, well, then fucking what? They're just motherfuckers with money is all they are. Like, that ain't royal.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's kind of like, I don't, why even, you know, be royal or be deemed royal if you're
that's what I wanted to
just
bring up.
Live a regular old life. You know?
That's kind of what I wanted to bring up to you is like, don't you think that it's like, what even is the point? Like if you genuinely,
castles?
You know, I don't know if they have castles. Like I said, I gotta look further into that. That's all I know so far. Cause we're going to,
cause that would, you know, that'd be something at least.
That would be something, but again, we're going to get to that. My research is cut short, but I thought today, Trey, that what we would do in lieu of continuing making our bracket on lesser known royals, what I would like to do is, I was thinking earlier about, I put out a clip from our last show that was me talking. You were telling me that I would be a super paranoid king and I would have to have a tester because I always think people are going to kill me. And I had mentioned that you would be a really good hand. And by the way, you're correct. But I had mentioned in that clip that I thought that you would be an extremely good hand, right? So while I was putting that clip out, I started thinking, I would really like to. Wrestling fans do this a lot, where you like fantasy book, like if I had to set up a WrestleMania, what would it be? Who's going over? Who's the heel? Who's managing? Whatever. What's my dream match? I thought it would be fun if me and you tried to, like, improv style off the top of our head, fantasy booked a realm or like a king's court. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
And I would like to set the parameters
for what? Okay, go ahead. Yeah,
it's a country or an empire. Like, let's just say it's a thing much like British Empire, like Westeros or whatever. If you want to get like, you know, fucking fictitious about it, but like, and I think so. I sent you a text earlier that was like, I think a good example would be, and I'm not saying we go with him, but just to give you an example, like I think Arnold Schwarzenegger would be a good king. That's just me. But I also want to add in here, just to make it more interesting, that maybe we should be able to pick fictional characters as well. We don't have to, but I don't want to limit us to just real people. Like if me and you are going to sit, we're going to pick a king. We're going to pick a king's hand. We're going to pick the person that's in charge of treasury. We're going to pick the master of whispers, even though I don't know if that's a real thing. All of this is based on Game of Thrones. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think that like spy masters was a real thing or and is then, a real thing. I mean, the CIA, that's our spy master basically.
And we might run out of time, but if not, we can pick it up next episode. Like Kingsguard, I think would be cool. So I am going to go ahead and throw it out there. Like we're going to go, I think we should go King first. And my argument for Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you can agree with me or you can come back with somebody that you think would be better. My argument for Arnold Schwarzenegger is, as far as a king goes, if you're wanting someone who looks like an, and by the way, we'll go peak Arnold Schwarzenegger, 84, right? 84 okay. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I was going to ask that. So does that mean it could be like living or dead?
Yes, absolutely.
Fictional or otherwise? Absolutely. Okay.
All absolutely. Right. This is all fucking what we want it to be, baby. So I would say 84 Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, granted, he didn't get into politics until the 2000s, but clearly he had it in him. Arnold Schwarzenegger is a super smart man, but more importantly, what he is a domineering figure, an absolute prototypical alpha male. So depending on when it is that we're setting up our kingdom, that was very fucking important. That was one of the most important things, was like, you look like a leader. You've got a lot of muscles. In a fight, you could actually whoop a motherfucker's ass. But what's great about Arnold is that we know that he's not just that. He's also got a good mind for governance. I don't know if he was a great governor. I have no idea. But we like Arnold now, is all I'm saying. He hangs out with donkeys. He's a cool dude. I think that he would be...
Little donkeys.
I think that he would be a fearful leader, but at the same time, a benevolent man, which is what I would like in a king.
Yes, I agree completely. If you're talking about like the classical image of like a king, like you said, somebody that's like, you know, will whip your ass at the, you know, like the jousting tournament and the, like, you know, in the duel or whatever, all that type of shit. Like, and, you know, head the legions and, you know, take on the, you know, the leader of the opposing forces in single combat on a field of battle type shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know who else you would, while also considering like, that he's also smart and has like, you know, an aptitude for governance, like you said. I mean, I don't know who the more clear choice would be, frankly.
Dolph Lundgren, maybe.
Dolph Lundgren, yeah, he's like a PhD. He's smart as hell.
The Rock.
The Rock.
He's not them.
Right. I mean, The Rock is super talented and super hits. I don't mean to disrespect The Rock, but I don't think that he has that same type of like thing going on in terms of like, I mean, like Arnold was literally a governor and he's done that type of shit. And he's like elite. You know what I'm saying? The Rock
shit
is like
the body Ventura.
Yeah, he's a maniac, ain't he? Or no?
Listen, you know where I'm at on conspiracies. Like, Jesse Jesse Ventura makes some good fucking points, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a big.
What was his? I don't even, we were kids when he got elected governor and stuff, but you're a huge wrestling guy. But like, I know he was a wrestler. He hit in Predator and he got elected governor of Minnesota, which is wild to hell to everybody. But that was like 25 years ago or something. I don't even really know how it turned out or anything like that.
He actually did a great job as governor. He was one of the first governors in America that, like, before everybody was just like, by the way, guys, y'all are way too hung up on this gay people getting married shit. They ought to be able to do it. You know what I mean? But he mm-hmm. is like. But here's the thing. He's a conspiracy guy, but every single one of the conspiracies he talks about, I fucking believe. I'm like, yeah, man, fucking 9/11 was an inside job. The government's looking at you. Like, I fucking get it. Like, he doesn't do the QAnon shit. Like, he's not that guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's a huge pro-union guy. Like, he mm-hmm. was the one, like, he ended up leaving WWE for a while because he tried to get all the wrestlers to unionize against Vince McMahon, and that didn't sit well with Vince McMahon, right? So, there's just a lot of good shit about Jesse the Body Ventura. All right, so we're going to go with The Rock on King for sure. Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're going to go with Arnold Schwarzenegger on King.
This is like if America was a kingdom, right? Yes. I feel like it kind of has to be because, like, yeah. I guarantee you there's a bunch of, like, also, they can't be actual leaders or like, I bet you there's a lot of great answers from other countries and stuff. And we don't know who they are because we're fucking dumbass Americans who don't. You know what I mean? Like, well, every one of our answers is going to be, you know, pretty America centric.
Speaking of Reddit, there's a great Reddit called U.S. Defaultism, where it's just like it shows people like clearly not understanding that America isn't the only country on Earth on the Internet.
Oh, we do that. All the time.
We're Americans. Right. You know what I mean? Like, listen, I know that we have fans from other countries, but they have to know that, like, our brain works as fucking Americans. So, like, I would love in the comments, in the emails at puttingonairs@gmail.com, y'all send us your, that's great. For next week, we'll read off who everybody thinks should be king. I think now the logical step is to go, who would be the hand of the king, right? So I mentioned that you would be a good hand. So if The Rock is this domineering, muscular figure, you've got to be someone who's not necessarily completely the opposite of that, but maybe someone who's a little bit more, I mean, you got to have someone who's, what do you want in a hand?
Somebody that's
cool,
cool-headed and pragmatic. And also, you know, smart, but empathetic, like cares about people, but, you know, will make the tough choices when need mm-hmm. be and that type of shit. And is not personally ambitious or greedy or any of that shit that leads to, like, power corrupting, you know. So, you know, I think maybe Mr. Rogers for Hand of the King.
Yeah, dude! Mr. Rogers is a fucking great one. I think Mr. Rogers is a great one. I also think... that, holy shit, I had one right before you said Mr. Rogers. Dolly Parton is definitely personally, she's ambitious, but, like, I also feel like she normally does the greater good. Like, man, Mr. Rogers, you fucking kind of nailed it right off the bat.
Yeah, I feel like Mr. Rogers is kind of like, and John Aaron was dead when Game of Thrones even started, but the way everybody talked about John Aaron and stuff, I feel like he was like, you know, I mean, I'm sure he still killed plenty of peasants and stuff like that, which Mr. Rogers would never do. But you know what I mean? It's like a super shrewd but benevolent person who's going to, like, steer you down the right path as much as possible.
Mr. Rogers might be too nice.
And who's unimpeachable in terms of, like, their scruples. You know what I'm saying?
Mr. Rogers honestly might be too nice. Like, you kind of need someone who's going to make, like, I don't know if Mr. Rogers could see somebody be killed when it's necessary. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
I'm going to throw this one out here, and I wasn't even thinking about politicians, but what about John McCain? He might have been a good hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Well, that's what I almost said a minute ago. Like, are we including politicians?
We can because include it's anybody. Like, we can include
I know we can, but it kind of feels like...
The cheat code?
Sort of, because it's like... I mean, that's what they did in like right. some capacity. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah,
you know, Abe Lincoln, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, obviously he hit.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But he kind of did that.
Like, yeah. You
know? So like if you're doing like a fantasy world thing, I do, by the way, if we did a queen instead of a king, I of course think Dolly Parton would be a fantastic option.
Okay, I see you're Mr. Rogers, and I don't know that I'll raise you, but if we're looking in the celebrity world, someone I think might be a good hand, Nick Offerman.
Okay, I dig that. I like Can that. You? Yeah,
Nick yeah. Offerman's one of those dude who is like, he's got all the good qualities of a libertarian and none of the bad qualities of a libertarian. Like, I feel like he's a super pragmatic guy. Don't get me wrong. Nick Offerman is obviously a celebrity, so you can't necessarily say like, oh, this guy is not personally ambitious. But like, I feel like Nick Offerman really practices what he preaches. He really has his core values and he kind of doesn't sway on them. And at the end of the day, he kind of believes in what's right. And I think that, like, dude, Teddy Roosevelt is like one of his heroes. And Teddy Roosevelt probably would have been a pretty good hand or king. So, like, I think Mr. Rogers, Nick Offerman, we could go either way on that.
Yeah, I'm down with that. And see, like Teddy Roosevelt, for example, we're talking about like Kings River. I thought of Teddy Roosevelt, but then I was like, but that don't, I mean, he was the president, right? Like he was like the equivalent of the king, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
it just feels, yeah, kind of cheap or something. I think with like Master of Coin, you got to like
Warren Buffett.
That's what I was going to say too, but I don't even know how much that hits for me. But like,
I know, but it's true.
You have to pick. How can you not pick one of these ultra rich motherfuckers and you have to and you want to pick one like not
Dolly
fucking
Parton.
Elon.
Dolly Parton.
Yeah, I mean Dolly rules, but
Jay-Z.
She's not
Jay-Z. He's a fucking billionaire, bro.
Yes, he is. Yeah, I agree. But like it's hard for me to think
it's Warren Buffett.
Well, it's just any of those guys. It's like I said, not fucking Elon Musk. I can tell you that much. Like, and I feel like most of them, I don't know. Over the past few years, I've just gotten, and we've talked about a lot on this show, just like the class of rich people we have. Like, the older I get, the more I think that any of those like mega billionaire types or whatever, they all got to have a little something wrong with them. So it's like you try to figure out the most, you know, benevolent or whatever one you could think of.
Like,
and Warren Buffett is supposed to be like, he's supposed to be like, he lives in like a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house or something like that, right?
Bonefish Grill's his favorite restaurant. And,
right. He's like, and I don't know how much of that's legit. Like he definitely makes it a whole big point to be like, I have humility and I'm a man of the people. I don't know how much I believe that, but like he at least puts up a front, whereas most of them don't. And I think like that is the combination you would want in of that person to have that role.
Also,
he is legit in that way, then I mean, yeah, I guess it would have to be
also
him.
He's different than a lot. Like, so Elon Musk is like, I mean, obviously he came from money, but it's like, he's got technology stuff and he, you know, like I know he doesn't, but he creates all these things. And like Bill Gates is super rich motherfucker, but he got rich because he had this tech breakthrough. Warren Buffett's whole thing is like, he got rich managing money. You know what I mean? Like, that's his skill. Like Bill Gates obviously is not an idiot at investing his money, but like he made his money in Microsoft and then made some smart decisions. Warren Buffett's whole thing is like, I do money. Like, I do money. That's my thing. So
yes.
I think you got to go with Warren Buffett or Jay-Z. We'll leave it to everybody to decide. Now I think we need to get to the Master of Whispers.
Yeah, the spy master.
Yeah,
the TMZ dude. I mean,
yeah.
What else you got? Again, I feel like picking like the head of the CIA or something. That feels like
that's cheating.
Because that's just who that's America's spy master is the fucking director of the CIA. Like that's just their real job. So outside of that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, who else, you know? Because I think of like. Because, I mean, dude, TMZ, they're like vultures, but like,
but they get it done.
They're on their shit, though. Like, they're fucking legit in terms of like, they get the scoop and they're accurate and all that stuff. It's just, you know, they're also filth mongers, obviously, and bloodless. But like, you're talking about a spy master here. So, I mean, you know. And I don't even know where else I would go with it, frankly.
I don't either, except for maybe somebody in the backstage at WWE, because, like, those dudes are, like, really good at, like, you know, figuring out information on wrestlers and then using that to politic their way to the top and shit like that. And if I'm looking for someone who can just, like, you know, take in a lot of information and do great things with it, I go for someone like a Tyler Mahan Co. or a Jody Avergan, you know, that does podcasts and stuff. These like people who like are investigative journalists that are so good at like getting to the root of stuff. But we're talking about though with spies, we're talking about deception. So like that has to be a thing too. Like who is, who will deceive, but they won't see it coming. OJ?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, master of murders. But I think that like a spy master, you know, think about Varys. He had all his little birds, right? Like right. That's what they really do, is they have a network of sources and informants and shit. And again,
TMZ.
I feel like that's just TMZ. Like that's just that's what they do, you know.
Well, we'll go with TMZ. And I know that we're running out of time. I need to get to airmail. So we're going to pick this back up, I think. I want to hear from everybody at puttingonairs@gmail.com. If you think we did good with the king, the hand, the master of coin, all that good stuff, who we should have picked, we're going to pick this discussion back up, maybe up top next week. But before we get out of here, I would like to read a little airmail. This is from Jim. This is the subject line. Limerick, read this one, damn it. It has Joe Diffie. Rest in peace, Joe Diffie. This is the limerick. When Alexa ain't working a bit, playing those songs that never quite fit, just know that you can lean on good old John Deere Green and remember why Joe Diffie hits.
Amen, brother.
A fucking man. Subject line. Really surprised y'all. This is the longest subject line we've ever had here at puttingonairs@gmail.com. Subject line. Really surprised that y'all didn't mention that Prince Albert II of Monaco's mama was Grace Kelly. Body of email.
What?
Just saying. Yeah, I didn't fucking know that.
I mean, I had his goddamn Wikipedia page pulled up, and I somehow missed that entirely. I mean, I didn't, you know, as I feel like we made it pretty clear at the time that we were literally learning about that person's existence as we were reading it all.
Is it true?
Yeah. Yeah. Grace Kelly, yes. Well, was an American actress who was the Princess of Monaco.
Wow.
Because she married Prince Rainier III.
Wow.
Albert's dad.
Well, damn. Well, by the way, this is a double hit because now I have a Professor Cho topic. That is fucking amazing. Well, thank y'all.
That's wild.
Thank y'all for the airmail. Also, remember, Trey, where are you going to be this weekend?
I'm in the Midwest. I don't remember the order of the shows. Last night, tonight, and tomorrow, I'm in some order of Omaha, Des Moines, and Kansas City. So, hope you guys come out to that. And then next week, I'll be in Connecticut and upstate New York. And then Vermont, a little after that, and on from there. So, holla.
Cool. As you
TreyCrowder.com.
There you go, TreyCrowder.com. As you know, I do bonus stuff at PartTimeFunnyMan.com. And just to let you know, longtime fans, the Buttercream Dream is back, baby. It's about to be some wild shit. Also, please pre-order our book, Round Here and Over Yonder. That link is going to be in the description. Check out our subreddit, Putting On Airs. That's going to be in the description. Holler at our Discord. Again, link in the description. Check out all our other podcasts, weekly skews, well-read podcasts, yada, yada, yada. And I would also like to add one more thing, Trey, and that is this. Stay fancy, mm-hmm. motherfuckers.
Indeed. Ski-wee.
Ski-wee.
Skew. Here's Lydia Loveless.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Royalty and rednecks are alike. They both like cutting and picking fights. Biscuits and baked beans where they don't belong. Sit on down with Corey and Trey and learn some fancy shit today. We'll laugh a little even when they're wrong. They'll take you to a magical place where if you call someone a cut, nobody cares. They keep it debonair at putting on airs, putting on airs, putting on airs.